Hi, I'm Sam. Welcome to my podcast, Medical Musings with Sam. This is all about living with chronic illness and finding the best way possible to live a life of faith and hope despite our diseases. Chronic illness is a part of our lives. It doesn't need to be all of our lives. That's the hope I want to give you as I share my story of a life that was turned upside down due to the diagnosis of a rare bone disease in 2014. My life today resembles nothing of what it was before. I was an executive manager living in the rat race, and I love that role. Today, I'm still living a fulfilled life. Different, yes, but so rewarding. I'm a writer, I'm a blogger, and I help people through my online support forum, Medical Musings with Friends. And if life wasn't busy enough, I'm now a podcaster. So grab a cuppa, find a comfy chair, and together, let's find life can still be full of wonderful and special moments. Hi everyone, welcome back to Medical Musings with Sam. It is an absolute delight to have you here. I'm always excited to be with you as well, and I hope that you enjoy this episode, which is a little different because life has been, shall I say, a little different over the last 5 days in particular. For those of you who haven't been following my latest chronic illness adventures on my blog, about 5 days ago, my husband and I made a difficult decision, a decision that is not one, that was made lightly, and certainly not one that we ever thought that we would have to make. But we did and have to, and we did make it with the encouragement of family and friends. And it's been an adventure. It is still an adventure, and I want to talk to you about it. And I think I want to talk to you about it for two reasons. One, I want to let you know what I'm doing, but secondly, I also I want to talk through the process of actually making decisions that are way outside of your comfort zone, and how do you manage that? How do you reconcile it? How do you deal with the fallout from perhaps people that don't understand why you've done it or don't agree with your decision, and then people who absolutely embrace it, and trying to correlate that, I guess, in your own mind as to how diverse our opinions can be, even when we still really, you know, care for people and are still friends with people, but, you know, we can have such diverse opinions and we can react very differently if somebody chooses to go down a path that perhaps is not the path that you would personally take. Anyway, so what has happened? Lots, really. but in a nutshell, and I'll go into more detail as to why, but Peter and I made the very difficult decision that we needed to launch a personal fundraising page. So as many of you know, I have been battling my disease since really 2011 and before that, but I was still able to work. And even from 2011 to 2014, I was still on income protection. It wasn't until 2014 when I medically retired and was paid out as a result of that. And we bought a house because that was the most sensible thing to do with the funds. We needed a roof over our head. We needed to be as debt-free as possible because we were going to be pensioners. And that worked for about 5 years, and except the medical expenses just kept getting higher and higher and higher. We didn't at that point have something which is called NDIS, which is the National Disability Insurance Scheme in Australia. I was fortunate enough to be given what they call a My Age Care package, which at that stage I was only 48 and you weren't really eligible until 65, but I was being looked after because of the extent of my disease and and just the horrificness of what it was doing to us, to our lives. And so I was very grateful for that. I was actually approved on a really high package, but you have to wait to get that package. So, you know, for much of those 5 years, I didn't get to the high package before we needed to do something different at the end of 5 years of living in the home that we bought post my medical retirement. So And then, so as I said, what happened with that was obviously, you know, medical expenses just kept getting higher and higher. We had to pay for a lot of the equipment that I needed, including, half funding stair lifts and those kind of things, power wheelchairs we bought, you know, all of that we had to fund. So that in made us have to release equity in our home, and we ended up with a substantial really mortgage, I guess, which we certainly didn't want to do, but we didn't have a choice. So by the end of the, by about, you know, 5 years into my medical retirement, it was clear that we needed to sell our home to release more equity to pay off the debt that we had, and to buy, to downsize and to buy a cheaper home. The only way we could do that was to move into an over 55 or an over 50s lifestyle village, because the amazing thing with over 50s lifestyle villages is you don't have to put down a major deposit to secure a home. You only have to put down $1,000, and we didn't have a deposit, and we were already, we had already borrowed to our maximum, so we weren't able to borrow any more money in terms of getting enough for a deposit for another house outside of a lifestyle village. The only downsize, well, let me talk about the pros first, because we're still in a lifestyle village. The pros of a lifestyle village are you own the house, you own it completely. You can do what you like to it. You can renovate it. You can sell it whenever you like. You get all the capital gains. It's normal. It's just like a normal house situation, buying a normal house. The con is that, which is also a pro, but the con is that you don't own the land, and that's what keeps the house price down. So you get, you know, if you go and look at houses, you'll get a price for a house that might be, you know, $300,000 Australian dollars, and then you have to buy your land on top of it. So it's quite a substantial amount of money, isn't it? Whereas in a lifestyle village, you can get beautiful quality homes, almost half price, I guess, because you're not paying for the land. You do pay site fees, but because if you're on a pension, if you pay site fees, it's considered a rental. So you also get rental allowance. So you own your own home, plus you get rental allowance. So that's a bit of a perk with it. And so there was so much for us to go to say, well, that's fantastic. And it just helps us, you know, no end. So we found the most beautiful lifestyle village. We purchased a home in it. And, you know, the whole idea was to have money in the bank, which we did, because we released equity, we paid off our mortgage, and we could start again, you know, hit the restart button. And plus of that, just a beautiful community. We actually live on the edge of the most gorgeous area in Queensland, and in terms of countryside, and it's just beautiful. So there was no, you know, qualms about doing it. And we thought that the money that we had would last, because we thought it would. We just thought that, you know, the house was, it wasn't two-story, we didn't need a stair lift. At that stage, I had just been approved for this NDIS package. So things like rails and, you know, in bathrooms and, you know, any kind of minor modifications to the home had been approved for me. No major modifications, but minor modifications. And at that stage, I was on crutches. So I still had lots of broken bones, but I wasn't using a walker and I wasn't in a wheelchair. So life was, you know, okay. And we thought that, I mean, obviously I was in lots of pain, but we thought that hopefully it would just stabilize. Anyway, as you all know, my life never stabilizes when it comes to health. And it just kept escalating, and I was in and out of hospital. I was, you know, between, well, I've had 20 surgeries, and the majority of those have been since I've retired. So, you know, it was just surgery after surgery, and some of my specialists were absolutely beautiful and charged hardly anything or nothing. And others, you know, or the surgeons actually are always very good, but you've generally, the anaesthetists and the hospitals, there are out-of-pocket costs that you have to cover. And then, of course, there's all the specialist appointments. And even if you have private health insurance, which we do because we kept that from my working days, and I'm so glad we did because we've got a grandfather product, which makes it cheaper at least. But it you still have out-of-pocket. So, yeah. And even though some of those costs weren't all that bad, because there were so many of them, because I had to see so many specialists and still do, those costs just keep adding up and adding up and adding up. And when you're on a pension, it doesn't matter who you are, it just doesn't stretch it. And I know people often say to me, well, you know, why don't you go into the public system? Well, the problem is with that, I have been in the private system since my disease hit. And the specialists who are treating, it is so complex. The specialists and even my GP has said to me, Sam, you can't, you cannot do that because it is just too complex and there's a waiting list and it's just too dangerous for me. So I don't have a choice. I would, you know, I have nothing against the public system at all. And we do use it for my husband for some of his issues. And that's fine. But it is just the complexity. So I know that, you know, the first thing people think is, well, you know, don't go private, go public. But when you have very, very complex health issues that are rare, and you know, I have had people all over the world trying to look at some of what's going on with me. I've had genetic specialists even say, you know, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack, and even they don't want to take my money to do that because they actually don't even know they would. There's so much apparently research that still has to be done in genetics. They actually don't even think that they're going to be able to find any kind of gene that might be the one that's triggered this ridiculous rare disease. So, yeah, so it's complex, as I think most of you get. Anyway, so that has caused us to get into a position where, again, we have no savings left, and it's, you need the savings to supplement the pension when you have complex medical issues. Even though, and as I said, I do have the NDIS package, of which I am so grateful for, because they have funded the most amazing equipment for me. In fact, I'm about to have a new wheelchair next week. We now have approval to look at major modifications within the home. I haven't got approval to have them done, but to have them quoted. So that's a great start. So, you know, there are really good things about the package that do help. And that has allowed us actually not to get to this stretched position as quickly as we perhaps would have. So we are at it now, and we have just been scratching our heads as what to do. Do we sell again and try and buy something cheaper? The problem with that is now that my disease has progressed even further, we do need something that at least is a starting point within the home in terms of me being able to access it. And because of our price range, that is really hard to find. And also, even if we sold and bought again, we would have a minimal amount sort of left in reserve, which means it may only be a few years down the track and we'd be in this exact same position. The other thing is, there's a strong possibility that we may have to go into assisted living accommodation within like a retirement village because of the progression of my disease and because Peter is getting older as well and his own needs are becoming more and more apparent. So, you know, it might only be a couple of years anyway and we have to do that. So we certainly couldn't handle two moves, and even the thought of one is kind of mind-blowing, to be honest, because of, you know, the condition that I'm in at the moment. And not even at the moment, it's certainly not going to change. So my spine, as you know, has completely collapsed. I can only stand for 5 minutes at a time the pain is excruciating. And even after standing, when I sit, if you can just imagine anybody that's had a pinched nerve, if you can imagine like a bundle of those nerves just absolutely being compressed in a way that it's like somebody's giving you a Chinese burn throughout your entire spine and down your legs, and that pain won't go away for at least, in fact, it never goes away, but it won't lower for at least 10 minutes after I've been trying to stand. So yeah, it's complex, it's a battle, but as you know, I like to live a life of purpose, and I like to live a life full of love and laughter and faith and hope, and I stand by that because it keeps me going and it helps me manage my pain. However, having financial stress does not help. So we made the decision that we needed to somehow raise some money just to help us through. And we thought, you know, even if we could just, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. And we honestly thought, well, even if we raise money just to cover a multitude of medical appointments that I've got over the next couple of months, that would be great, and have enough if we have to move so that we can get packers in and those kind of things, because we were looking at a particular home within the current village that we live in, which would be very suitable from a disability perspective, we thought. But when we looked further into it, the only homes that were available were a flip version or a flip floor layout of the home that was going to be okay. Now, you might think, well, why would that make a difference? The garage was on the wrong side of the house. And why I say the wrong side of the house is because we currently have a double garage, which really helps me getting in and out of the car and onto the equipment. Now, this home didn't have a double garage. It had what they call a 1.5 size garage, and that's okay. But it was only large on sort of like a squared area on one side. So that was a side where I had to be able to get out and where my equipment had to be parked. So the problem with that was, even if Peter reversed in, I would still end up in a narrow part. So he had to be able to drive in. And the floor plan that we looked at originally was perfect for that. But the only houses available had the flip side, which meant that I would be on the wrong side of the car. We wouldn't be able to get the equipment to me to get me out of the car and onto my wheelchair. And I wouldn't be able to get around the car to get into the house, even if we could do that. So it was a bit of a nightmare. So it just wasn't going to work. And there was a couple of other things in the end that we looked at as well that just were not going to work. They were deal breakers. So that wasn't going to be possible. Anyway, so in the meantime, we decided that we'd do something that we never in our lives thought that we would do, but it was something that our friends and family were encouraging us to do and certainly supporting us to do. So we decided to take a leap of faith. And, you know, sometimes there are things that we do in life that people absolutely agree with you on and others don't. It's just not for them. It's not something they perhaps thought you would ever do. It might make them feel uncomfortable. I don't know. But there's always in big decisions in life, there's often a diverse response to them from people in your lives. And we've experienced a little bit of that. But I have to say, not a lot. And the support has been absolutely overwhelming with the decision that we have made. So thank you, all of you out there who might be listening to this, who are those people who have said, we're here for you and we support you. Thank you. You just don't know how wonderful your support has been. And it's not even been monetary support that's been the best. It's actually been that words of encouragement of saying, you're doing the right thing, and this is what we believe that you should do as well. That has meant the world to us. So what have we done? We have launched a fundraising page through GoFundMe. Never in our lives did we think have we ever thought that we would do something like this? But as I said, you know, there are times in your life where that's what happens. You've got to do something that you just didn't ever think that you were going to do. I remember many times I've sort of said, you know, never say never. And this is one of those times. So I wanted to, though, go back a little bit in my life just to share something with you. There was a beautiful lady as I was growing up who was very much like a grandmother to me. And between the ages of 16 and 18, I always think of her as a fairy godmother, which she wasn't. She was a beautiful lady of faith, and she loved people, and she loved to pray for people, but she also was very practical in her faith. And I remember whenever my parents had a need, it was like she was just always there, like she always knew. And growing up, seeing something like that has a profound influence on you. And it certainly did for me. And she wasn't even just like that for my parents. She was like that for me. In fact, my first car came from her, which was just amazing. But I remember she said to me, just this little simple phrase. She just turned around to me one day, and she'd been gifting us with many things, and it was just beautiful. But she said to me, "Sam, just remember, God is no man's debtor." And, you know, as a 16-year-old, I have never, ever forgotten that. It just was beautiful. God is no man's debtor. And what she meant was, when you give of yourself, when you give to others, God sees that, and he honors that, and he is no man's debtor, as simple as that. You know, he will take care of you. That's what her meaning was with all of that, and that's what the meaning of that is. And it, as I said, it had a profound influence on me because I saw her give, and I saw the joy it brought her, and I saw the joy it brought others. And I embraced that. I was very much like that anyway. I ended up for many years being the provider for my family in some regards as well, in lots of regards. And I've always been the one to give. That's just been me. So not to be the giver, but to be the receiver is really, really strange. And it's way out of my comfort zone. But I've been reminded of those words that God is no man's debtor. And there are times in our life where it is time to receive, not time to necessarily be the giver. And that is a truly humbling position to get to. But it's also a really beautiful position to get to if you embrace it, because you realize that there are people who truly care, and there are just amazing moments to be experienced that you wouldn't have experienced had you not allowed your heart to be open to receive. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you because it's been a really great learning experience for me as well. An enriching experience, absolutely enriching experience. So, as I said, we did what we never imagined we would have to do, and we launched the GoFundMe page about 5 or 6 days ago now, I think. So, as I said, it's feels like really odd days, and I don't know, you know, where all this is going. Even we've set a goal of an amount, and you can check out the GoFundMe page. I'm not going to go into all of that here. I'll leave the link in the overview section of the podcast, which you can see just before you click in to listen. But yeah, so if you want to have a look, feel free. But really, I just wanted to talk to you about the whole experience, because that's what I think is what this episode needs to be about, and why I've called it the newsy episode. I've just written actually a newsletter for people who have donated, and that's why I'm calling it the newsy one. So, as I said, you know, life just does get complex sometimes, doesn't it? And
you know, we can either run away and just stick our head in the sand, or we can take the bull by the horns and go, well, you know what, I'm going to have to do something whether I like it or not. So that's what we've done. And I wrote a blog post, and I actually did a podcast on it, didn't I, about It Takes a Village, just a week or so ago. And it's interesting because at that point when I was talking about a village, I had no idea this was going to happen. And it was almost like I was being prepared to need a village, because that blog post and that podcast episode about It Takes a Village was a really overwhelming topic that I couldn't get out of my head, that I felt I needed to explore further and write about and talk with you guys about. So that's interesting, because this whole thing has been about It Takes a Village. And, you know, we suddenly found ourselves in need of widening our village support to help us achieve our important goal. So that's what we've done. And I can't thank people enough. We have reached nearly 50% of our target in 6 days. And the generosity of friends and family has been unbelievable. There are some people who have donated who I don't know, and I just can't thank them enough as well. I know that some of my friends have been sharing the page, and I'm assuming that that's where those donations have come from. I've had colleagues from agencies where I volunteer in an online capacity donate, and I was not expecting that, so that was just absolutely beautiful, and I thank them from the bottom of my heart. And then we had the most beautiful friends who privately contacted us to say that they wanted to support us ongoing and with a fortnightly contribution, and that was game-changing, honestly, and we just did not see that coming at all. And yeah, I just can't believe it. And honestly, it was pension day today, and I was doing the banking and going, oh my goodness, I can breathe. I've been so stressed every fortnight trying to make ends meet and eat as well. Because, you know, food, it's been difficult to find money for food. And we've had friends help us with that even prior to this. And you know who you are, and I love you deeply, and thank you. And yeah. So, you know, for those of you out there struggling with medical costs, I hear you. I get it. It's hard. And, you know, sometimes there are no easy answers. And yes, there might be government funding, and there might be bits and pieces that you can avail yourself with, but that doesn't always fall in the category that you need it to fall in, given your disease. So if you're feeling like, you know, you can't make those ends meet because of that, you know, be brave. If you need to ask for help, ask for help. People are willing to help. And if you don't have a very big village, and mine's not huge, you know, then do something like a fundraiser. And at least it's safe as well. Your money's protected. Your donor's money is protected. And it's all done for you. It's so simple to set up. You know, you don't have to worry. And one of the things that we do not need to do when we are not all that well is worry. We need to keep our stress levels down. It's just so important. So, as a result of the donations, as a result of our beautiful friends who are supporting us ongoing for as long as they're able, and my proviso was that they are to tell me when they're not able to do it any longer, and they can stop absolutely at any time. But it is going to mean that we can stay in our own home, and that is just amazing. And will we be rich? Absolutely not. Will we still be living pension to pension? Absolutely. But what we will have is enough money to just not worry about how to pay a specialist appointment while we're waiting for the rebate to come back, for example. And we do have a personal loan that we need to pay back because we had to borrow for medical expenses to cover us. So, you know, which is fine, and all of that can be catered for. And which is great and such a relief, and we know that even that puts us in a much better position than many others might be in as well, and we're very, very mindful of that. But it's because of the absolute generosity of, as I said, these amazing people who have donated to us, and then our friends who are helping us ongoing. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We just can't believe the generosity of people. It's just truly, truly heartwarming, inspiring, humbling, and overwhelming, absolutely overwhelming. So we still have 50% of our target to achieve, and that will actually give us a little bit of sense of security of being able to know that we can really stay in our own home for quite a while. And when I say quite a while, I'm only talking, you know, years, not like, you know, 20 years or 10 years or something, but enough time for us to figure out what our next steps are in terms of accommodation. And it could very well be either, as I said, this service assisted living or just a retirement village unit. But yes, there will be definitely a move at some point in the future, but not now. And that is really, really good news for us. And in the meantime, as I said, my occupational therapist is looking at getting quotes for major modifications on the bathroom and the kitchen. So the bathroom needs to be made into a full wet room for me, so that the wheelchair can go in there and that carers can help me. And also we need the kitchen modified so that I can wheel up to it and use it. And particularly if anything happens to Peter and I'm living on my own, you know, those things are really, really important, because it's very hard to function when my spine, you know, is so collapsed and I'm needing to use the wheelchair at the moment. While I'm waiting for the wheelchair, I'm actually using the seat on the walker and trying to move myself, you know, around. And believe me, that is not easy, and that is just causing a lot of pain as well. So anyway, that's all the background story of what has been going on, and just the, as I said, the absolute joy of having people just look after us in the way that they are. And we would never have experienced that had we not been brave enough, I guess, to take that leap of faith and to go forward and not be afraid. And that's what I want to encourage any of my listeners today who perhaps need to do something but are feeling afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, people are kinder than you realize. People want to help, and the feeling of knowing that you've been brave enough to do something that you wouldn't normally do is rewarding in itself. So I really hope that I have encouraged you to at least take a leap of faith if that's what it is that you need to do. So I will put the fundraising link in the overview section of the podcast, so that you can see that if you want to. And I'm not asking for donations. I am really just asking that if you do have a social media following and you feel comfortable doing so, just even sharing it is just huge. It'd be fantastic if you could do that, so that we can reach this next 50% of our goal. But if you know what, if not, just listening to the podcast and just being a part of the Medical Musings family is just such a blessing to me, and it's rewarding in itself. And I can see the membership following. I can see you know, the episodes being listened to more and more, and I really, really thank you for that, and thank you for being here. So I hope that next time I pop on for an episode that it might be another newsy episode, and I'll be able to let you know that we've got closer to that goal. But whether we do or we don't, the amount that has been raised at the moment is really going to make an enormous difference. And I am so, so, so grateful, as is Peter. And yeah, he's quite speechless about the whole thing. But just so grateful as well. And just so pleased that he too was brave enough to make the decision to say, let's do it. Let's push that button. So thanks for listening today. I hope you're all doing as well as you possibly can. For those of you that are having a hard time at the moment or are perhaps in hospital or just suffering, you know, with a flare of symptoms, my hearts go out to you, and I hope that that it gets a little better as soon as it possibly can. And if it's taking a while, I hope that you find something to distract yourself from it all and find a way to, manage that pain through that distraction, what I call distraction therapy, because it really is. It's a way of focusing in on something that is not about the pain that you're feeling, which is why I podcast and why I write while I'm doing it. While I know the pain is there, and while I might be exhausted, and I certainly am today, I was determined to do this because I wanted to reach out to you guys. I wanted to have the opportunity to talk to you about what was going on rather than writing about it or you just seeing it in a social media sense and wondering what on earth is Sam doing. So it's been really important to me. So if you've got something that's important to you or that's a passion, no matter how bad your circumstances are, it's usually strong enough to make you able to push through and say, well, you know what, I'm going to do this because it is really, really important. So look after yourselves, please. And if you want to chat, there's the comment section on the podcast. You can direct message me. For those of you that would like to join a group of people who do suffer with complex chronic disease but are trying to live the best life possible despite them in the most positive way possible, without being cheesy, then you're more than welcome to join Medical Musings with Friends, which is a Facebook group. It's a private group. If you just search Medical Musings with Friends, I will welcome you immediately. So, please don't hesitate to do that. You can also check out my blog anytime you like, My Medical Musings. So it's www.mymedmusings.com. And I post there regularly, so you'll get all of these updates. And I'm certainly, one of the things I'm doing in relation to this fundraising is I want to be as transparent as possible about how Peter and I are using the funds. And I've just written a newsletter which highlights all the areas where the funds are being used, and that won't change because they are the pressing needs, and the amount of money that we have is just going to be covering those needs. So if you're interested in that, you'll be able to see it on my blog. If anybody donates, I send them the link as well so that they get that information. And I send a thank you email as soon as I see that a donation has come through as well, because I think it's really important that people are acknowledged for what they've done and given, and because it's just such a precious, precious gift. So thank you guys for listening. Please take care. Can't believe the week is nearly over. It's Thursday as I'm recording this. So, my goodness, another weekend almost on our doorstep. And we're halfway through September. Can you believe it? It won't be long before we'll be doing Christmas episodes. There's a scary thought. Anyway, look after yourselves. Talk to you very, very soon. Thanks again for listening. You are absolutely the best, and I am so blessed to have you in my lives. See ya. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can subscribe to this podcast or you can leave a review. I would really appreciate your support. If you would like to have more of My Medical Musings in your world on a regular basis, I also have a blog which you can find at www.mymedmusings.com. I post there at least weekly, so there's lots for you to read and be involved with.
If you would really like to be a part of a nurturing community, Medical Musings with Friends is a private support group on Facebook, offering the hand of friendship, support, true care and understanding to anyone living with chronic illness. We would love to welcome you into our community. Just search Medical Musings with Friends on Facebook, click join, and you will receive the warmest of welcomes. I also have a book, My Medical Musings, a story of love, laughter, faith and hope living with a rare disease. It's available now through Amazon and my publisher, Imagine We Publishers. I would love for you to check it out. There's something in the My Medical Musings world for everyone. Something different to suit your needs. I hope you do find something that resonates with you and helps you feel you are not alone. Because you're not. Remember, chronic illness is a part of your life, not all of your life. Take care.